Okay, so it's about 6 o'clock, so call this meeting of the National Airport Authority to order. Roll call, please.
Director Duquette?
Here.
Chairman Woods?
Here.
Vice Chairperson Sandy Adams?
Here. We haven't made that election yet.
Yeah.
Okay. So, public input. Okay. No public input, and I'm reminded, make a note, please, that Director Scheifel is missing for the moment. So, next agenda item. You folks probably have heard at this point, Michael Rosenblum has resigned from the board. So, you know, we need to figure out, you know, or confirm who's going to be the chairman, who's going to be the treasurer, who's going to be the vice chair.
So I'd like to make a motion to elect Vice Chair Woods to become chairman.
Second.
I would like to become vice chair until my term is up in August.
Second.
And have Director Duquette become treasurer, and we'll leave Secretary Scheifel as secretary. Okay. Second all that?
Second all of the above.
Discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Okay. Motion carries. So, next item up. Minutes of April 15th. Does anybody have any corrections to the minutes? Okay.
The motion to approve the April 18th, 2018 minutes.
Second.
Okay. Discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And opposed? Okay, Treasurer's Report. Susan, please.
Okay. I'm just going to give you the one that paid well. Just quickly go over a lot of things that Michael was over. April's budget was the income was pretty much there. There was the area was only $700 for the month. For the overall, the year gave the variance a little bit more due to recovering funds on our family, starting to get those services down through. And the miscellaneous income, we had quite a bit of miscellaneous income this year due to some aircraft recovery, some overpayment of health benefits, sale of equipment, some fence repair that was supposed to us. So, and on the expense side, there's really not much difference there either. It's pretty much in line. On most items, the overall is pretty much in the budget. So we're doing really well. So overall, for the month of April, we had a net income of approximately $3,600. Overall, for the year to date, we have an overall net income of approximately $55,000. Any questions?
You so that the overpayment of benefits, that's something that you found, right?
The overpayment of benefits, I'm not sure where that picked up on. It was towards the beginning of the fiscal year last year, so I'm not sure if it was from where it was found, but no, the city found it in second place.
All right.
We're not doing much marketing right now, huh? $4,000 under budget.
Yeah. That's the thing. There's a lot of us
that are under budget. Meals under $2,300.
Okay. Do we have any more questions for April's financial? Okay.
Motion to accept. Pending on it.
Are you looking at it? Make a motion to accept the April 2018 financials, of course, pending audit, as always.
I'll second it.
Okay. And discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. let's see. We still have a under Treasurer's report, we didn't get a report for the last couple of meetings because Mike was absent. I'm not going to impose upon you right now to provide that. However, I think that to date the auditors have been generally pleased with how our financials are organized, and because of that, I would entertain a motion to approve the financial statements for February and March pending audit.
Second.
Okay.
And discussion. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And opposed? Okay. Communications. I was missing. I'll go over that briefly. Toward the end of April, we were a little bit surprised to receive a resignation letter from Michael Rosenblum.
We were a lot surprised.
We were a lot surprised. Michael wants to spend more time with his family. That's the short of it, and that's what he's going to concentrate on. So we wish Michael all our best. I think we're gonna get a platform and stuff like that. When he can come here, we'll present that to him. Susan, do you remember how long Michael served the board?
He was 13.
13 years.
Yeah.
Long time.
2005.
I think he said 13 in the email.
So 13 years.
Yeah, 13 years.
Good long time. We will definitely miss him. April 30, we received a communication from the Boys and Girls Club, a donation in memory of Alderman Sean McGinnis.
Thank you.
Okay.
What did he tell us?
A couple months ago.
In April, we sent out a donation.
Okay. Well, thanks for the clarification. Then, finally, on May 8th, just received, in person, an anonymous complaint alleging all sorts of, non-compliant use of hangars and other spaces on the airport. He received this from New Hampshire DOT, Bureau of Aeronautics, and the FAA compliance person for the New England region down in Burlington. So probably most of the folks in here know that as a result of that, we were randomly selected for a land use inspection, which is part of the grant assurance process. FAA does have the right to conduct that inspection, and the bulk of that inspection was carried out between Thursday of last week and Monday of this week. I'll let Chris address that when we get to his manager's report. But that was the last communication we received. Okay, so that's it for communications for now. Reports. So the tower report. So for the month of April, we had a total of 4,583 operations. That is up 101 operations from April of 2017, the variance being 2%. I'm not going to get into all the specifics of jet versus piston and all of that, but I will note that year over year, for the first for the first 4 months of the year, the variance has been positive. So we like that, obviously. And that brings us to airport manager's report.
Okay, recent events, none. Not that exciting. Upcoming events are pretty much what we've talked about for the last few months with a date change. June 2nd, EAA Young Eagles, sponsored by Air Direct, which is a Saturday, and then the next event is now scheduled for June 9th, The Aviation Museum of New Hampshire, that's based up in Manchester, will hold their annual fly-in barbecue at the Nashua Airport, Hangar 81, at 11 a.m. This is a paid event, so if anybody wants to attend, there is a small fee to attend. If you're members, there's discounts if you're members of the museum. Great event, brought a lot of people in last year, a lot of airplanes came, and they had a great barbecue. July 11th through the 15th, July 15th, we have the Air Power History Tour with the Commemorative Air Force coming. The world's most famous flying B-29 Superfortress, Fifi, will be here along with a C-45 and a T-6 Texan. They will be arriving on Monday, July 9th at noon. They'll meet the press for pictures and stories. There won't be any public attendance for this portion of it. The crew would then take the afternoon off and Tuesday off and then open to the public on Wednesday, July 11th. And they'll be open from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily, Wednesday through Sunday, July 15th. They're offering rides and static tours, etc. Again, it's a paid event. You have to make donations and there is a small fee to attend. They'll then depart Monday morning, July 16th. And in September 14th and 15th, we have the movie night, Summer Fun Movie Night. They still have not announced the movie. They're probably waiting on us to choose the movie. So if anybody has... I know. And September 15th is Summer Fun 2018, Wheels and Wings. Other items of interest, I've had some communication with Southern New Hampshire University, Joe Donovan. He gave the Airport Authority, the FAA, and Midwest ATC keys for the 79 Perimeter Road building, as we need access to the tower and access to the mechanical rooms in there. I also met with Chris Bergeron from SNHU and Joe Donovan again regarding they want to add a section of fence outside the dispatch office on 79 Perimeter Road. This fence used to be there. For some reason, it was taken down years ago. But all it is going to, in a nutshell, corral the students from inside the building to go out onto the ramp. And they won't be removing any fence. They're simply adding this section, and they'll add an additional security gate to it.
Is that something they're doing, Chris?
Yeah. And I looked it over with them, and it has no impact on anything except for corralling that door for them. So we said they could do that. Excuse me. Last week, we had a groove and seal plan. Well, actually, it was supposed to start this week, but we had to push it off for weather. We pushed it off till next week, May 21st through the 26th. These dates are tentatively scheduled for the sealing and remarking phase of the runway 1432 groove and seal and remark project. And Nick can speak a little more specifically about this when Nick from Gale Engineering speaks. The runway tentatively will be closed beginning at 7 a.m. Monday, May 21st, 24 hours a day for the 5 days of this phase. The project reopening on Saturday, May 26th at 7 a.m. Hopefully we can get a good stretch of weather. May 8th, I attended a meeting at the FAA Regional Headquarters in Burlington, Mass. The subject of the meeting was to discuss the letter of complaint that Farrell was just discussing. It was received by the New Hampshire Department of Transportation Bureau of Aeronautics regarding non-aeronautical use of hangars, etc. This was all sent out to all the hangar owners with all the communications that I received that day. Attendees at this meeting included George Pantelli, FAA Regional Compliance Director, Gail Luttrell, Acting Director, FAA Airports, Lisa Lesperance, FAA, not sure what her position is. She did not speak in the meeting. Tricia Lambert, New Hampshire Department of Transportation Bureau of Aeronautics. She's the administrator. Carol Nuola, Senior Planner, New Hampshire DOT Bureau of Aeronautics. And Patrick Herlihy, New Hampshire DOT Bureau of Aeronautics and Rail Director. During the meeting, I was told that I had to ensure that all hangars would be accessible for the inspection beginning at 9 a.m. on Thursday, May 10th. And then on Thursday, May 10th, the 11th, and this past Monday, the 14th, we conducted the land use and hangar inspections. And I'm happy to say that this went very well. We inspected over 90 hangars in the 3 days. And we have a total of just over 150 to inspect, so I have about 60 more to go. And they were here throughout those 3 days, and the plan going forward is I'll gather up approximately 10 hangers a day, and they'll come in the afternoon, and we'll inspect the 10 hangers per day that I can get hold of. And I have 13 or 14 lined up for tomorrow right now, and so we're knocking them off, no problem. Everybody's very cooperative. And if we're going to talk about findings, they haven't published their findings report yet, but I can tell you that Farrell and I were out there for a lot of this, and out of 90-plus hangers, we only had 5 issues. And I'm not going to call them violations. They were simply hangers that had non-aeronautical use associated with them, and these people are all going to stay on the airport because the hangar use policy was rewritten in June of 2016. They're going to be allowed to stay and simply have to pay non-aeronautical land lease rates for their hangars. And this works out great for everybody because some of the hangars in question, they're large hangars and they don't have the tenants to fill them. So in the meantime, they've had to put other items in there to pay their taxes, et cetera. And the FAA and DOT understands this, and it's all acceptable according to the hangar use policy. So other things that were alleged in the complainant letter were things like a chemical lab, chemicals being poured into the ground everywhere. None of this was found. It's not true. And so they're able to see this for themselves and come to their own conclusions, and so far so good. That's all I have. Does anybody have any questions? Wes?
I'd like to offer my appreciation for the composure which our airport manager has exhibited. This might be your first ever experience with the FAA. And those of us who have been had longer term dealings with the FAA know how this can be. So I think you did a great job.
Thank you.
Don't forget to state your name for the record.
Wes Lou, for the record.
Yes, Andy.
I was a little taken aback. I'm happy, I think, with the way things are going now. When this first came about, I was a little frustrated because the letter was received at the DOT on April 3rd. None of us, not the National Airport Authority, not the airport manager, nobody was notified until May 8th, Chris, right? And I was a little concerned. I felt maybe Chris was ambushed. I felt that if there was a chemical lab on our airport that we didn't know about and they were concerned about our safety, why weren't we notified? So there was some concerns on my part. I did ask George and Carol when we sat down the first day they came why that happened. How could that be that they had it since April 3rd and none of us knew? They stated that they had been going through a lot of changes in personnel and just, you know, fell by the wayside. So that being said, we're happy at the moment with how things are going, and I hope it stays that way. I don't like to feel that the lines of communication are not open between the DOT and National Airport Authority. So Chris is doing a great job, and I think they realize that.
Let me just add one thing, Sandy. The DOT, Bureau of Aeronautics, Carol Nuola, and George Pantelli from the FAA Regional Compliance, they have treated us with respect. They've treated all of our tenants, customers with respect. There's no overreaching in this whatsoever. I think they've been more than fair with us. They're happy with what they see. George has also stated that he sees what he expected that he was going to see, which in regards to all these preposterous allegations, none of them are there. So this process is going very well.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Okay. Okay. So next up, airport engineer.
Okay, talk about the master plan a little bit here. Zach Hiram, McDill Associates, for the record. So I apologize, Farrell. Nick and I tried to get all these alternatives up on the screen and had some difficulties getting the images to project the way we wanted them to. So I did have some handouts. If anyone doesn't have them, let me know. I do have a copy up here. In the interest of time, I will say that the last meeting that we had was held on April 16th, and this is where the Master Plan Committee, which I see a lot of familiar faces from that committee are here this evening, discussed the different alternatives. We started with alternative one, which I handed out, and we've ultimately ended up with alternative six, which is the Master Plan Committee's recommendations and authority as the preferred alternative. What we've done is we've taken alternative number one, put everything in there, the wish list of the Master Plan Committee, and then we built upon that. As you get into alternative number two, some things have been pulled out, other items have been rearranged. Same thing with option number three, four, five, and ultimately number six. So everything on alternative one, for the most part, you see on all the subsequent alternatives except for variations of them.
I'm sorry for interrupting.
Nope.
Just for the record and for people that are not familiar with what this is, can you state briefly what this represents?
So currently we're in the process of developing alternatives for the airport, which is subsequently going to make up what the airport layout plan is for the airport, which will be the big wish list that we submit to NHGOT and the FAA for projects at the airport. Ultimately, we'd like to get funded at some point in time. In the instance where you see hangars, for example, and you may see T-hangars, it doesn't necessarily tie to airports strictly building T-hangars in that location. It's just a general outlook of what the airport's essentially looking for in specific locations on airport property, and in some cases off airport property. So some of the items that have come out of it are property acquisition. The airport's looking to acquire two pieces of property along Pine Hill Road, and those are depicted on all the alternatives, but on alternative number one up along Pine Hill Road. Taxiway A relocation is something else that's on all the alternatives as well, moving that 150 feet closer to runway 1432, and that still will maintain a 400-foot required runway to taxiway separation, but it does free up available area for the airport to expand some of the aprons in the future as demand warrants for tie-down spaces. Another one that you'll see on all of them is the AWOS relocation from its existing location adjacent to Delta Ramp and to a new location adjacent to Hotel Ramp. In its current location, AWOS is obstructed by the air traffic control tower, and any future development on Delta Ramp, I guess, would prohibit or continue to affect and obstruct the AWOS. So the goal is to move that so it's in a point that's the least obstructed as possible from buildings and trees and things like that. There's a de-icing area construction. We've identified an area on Gulf Ramp for future de-icing operations during winter months. That's also on all the alternatives. There's airport access road construction behind buildings number 25 and 38 with associated parking. Fencing reconfigurations and vegetation removal. So at some point in the future, if those two parcels are acquired on Pine Hill Road, the fencing would be reconfigured to include those areas. The runway 14 end, the Master Plan Committee would like to see the Malzahar area fully encompassed with perimeter fencing. In speaking with Chris over the past year, I do know that there's vegetation that has since grown through some of the fencing on airport property that the airport's looking to remove. That'll certainly preserve the fencing itself, and it will provide an additional added security for the airport as people won't be able to climb trees and jump over fencing. Some of the changes from alternative one that were discussed as we've gone through the subsequent alternative two, three, four, and five, and ultimately ended up on number six, is the fuel facility construction. The airport Master Plan Committee, I should say, would like to see a 10,000-gallon tank located in the vicinity of Delta Ramp. This would be a self-serve fuel facility, providing 24-hour operation for pilots and users. Construction of administration building and customs building. A brand-new administration building located adjacent to the former Daniel Webster College building, and then a customs building adjacent to Alpha Ramp. Then the India Ramp hangar development, it was discussed that at some point in the future, again, this is all as demand warrants, this isn't something that's going to happen overnight, not even necessarily in the short term, but as demand at the airport increases, T-hangar development would take place over the existing India Ramp pavement, and then the adjacent land to India Ramp would then be designated as aeronautical / non-aeronautical use, and that would provide the airport with the flexibility to either increase hangars out there, tie-down spaces out there, or allow for some sort of non-aeronautical use business to come in and utilize the land out there. With the shifting of Taxiway A, that opens up availability for the expansion of Echo, Foxtrot, Golf, and Hotel ramps. And again, as demand warrants, this would provide the airport with the ability to increase tie-down space and increase its ability to collect tie-down fees. Then there's a couple of significant hangar constructions, three corporate hangars south of Alpha Ramp, four hangars west of Alpha Ramp, and then reconfiguration of Delta Ramp so that it becomes a corporate hangar complex. As a result of all of these things, to stay compliant with FAA design criteria, we've thrown in there the reconfiguration of taxiways B and F, and also the reconstruction of taxiways C and D southeast of their current configurations. And I think that portion of it was the one that we kind of jockeyed back and forth with the most, how best to, you know, fulfill the design criteria, yet still serve the aeronautical uses at the airport. Fortunately, we do have some pilots on the master plan committee, which were very instrumental in helping with that configuration and that location. So that more or less is somewhat quick, but in a nutshell, what the airport's taken on over the past month and a half. I did provide this guidance sheet here so that people could go through and take a look at what is actually changing from one alternative to the next. And as I've mentioned, alternative six is the recommendation from the master plan committee. And I think the goal would be to get these up on the website and solicit any additional input and comments so we can take recommendations and adjust as needed.
Steve.
Steve Millett, for the record. Looking at this, it looks like
Which are you looking on, six?
Alpha Ramp.
Yeah, and Matt, maybe it's important to just clarify, this is the grand plan wish list kind of not happening tomorrow.
This is a lot of it is definitely pie in the sky. It is at some point in the future, between now and the next 20 years, if an opportunity presented itself to the airport, the airport is positioning itself to be able to, accept FAA and state funding to implement a lot of what is being shown on these alternatives.
And it's nothing that has to be done. It's just out there that if we want to do it, it's out there saying,
correct.
Okay, we said we want to do that.
So nothing on here commits DOT, FAA, or the airport to actually implement it.
It's actually the inverse, right? If you don't have it on here,
correct.
Then
exactly.
You can't act.
If it's not on here, then you don't have the ability to see federal and state funding for this, but it doesn't commit, the FAA is not committing
things
to state.
Things can change.
Things can certainly change. It is meant to be somewhat like a living and breathing document where we keep reviewing it. Again, you're not going to go out there and start expanding some of the aprons for tie-downs until the demand warrants.
Considering we just paved that area.
Then you just be paving it, and then you know there's
not an aprons.
We're not some of the master plan committee guys. We missing anything? Or?
So, I'm sorry.
Okay, do we have any other questions, concerns about the master plan update, the airport layout plan?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
So, we started off with alternative one.
Yep.
Those
yes.
are the things you were thinking about. Right?
Mm-hmm.
These are other things you kind of threw around, or how about this stuff? So, when you get to alternative six, it says it includes all the projects from alternative one.
Yep.
With these other projects. So, this.
So, basically.
Expansion? So, that's not on one.
Which one?
Apron expansion?
The apron expansion
is on item 3.
The black area?
Item 3.
Okay, essentially everything on alternative 1 is in alternative 6, except alternative 6 has either like flipped them from a different location or kind of spun it around as to what we're projecting for, you know, either hangars or tie downs or the vacant land adjacent to India Ramp, what the purpose of that would be for. So everything from 1 is in 6, there's just tweaks to the ones that I've highlighted in option number 6.
Are there any net pullouts as you went along from option to option, or was it more added and kept what you did before and then repositioned or recharacterized or modified something?
More or less that, okay. Yeah. And then so what we are doing is we are putting a write-up to this, so there is actually going to be a write-up that actually goes through and outlines everything that's being done. It talks about impervious surface, the amount of impervious surface added, or in some cases reduced by certain construction projects, so the total at the end is all kind of added up. And then the write-up will definitely read so that when you're reading through alternative 1, you can reference back to this plan and be like, oh, okay, I see exactly what we're doing on alternative 1. Or I see what we're doing on 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Okay. Any other questions or concerns for that?
I think we ought to be able to get these up on the website.
Should be.
We can get those up and then still take comments and questions.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
Okay. Nick, I think you're up.
Well, should we get a vote from the authority to proceed with option 6 as a preferred alternative? Is that how we're going to do that coming from the MDC?
Take comments on option 6 instead of posting all 6. Instead of just basically option 6 is the point of jumping off for comments, posting.
Right.
And everybody's got input on that versus input on 6.
Right. The Master Plan Committee's recommendations to the authority to move forward with option 6 as a preferred alternative.
Are we going to put alternatives on the website or just alternatives?
It would be 6.
Just 6.
Right. So the committee basically went through all the work and came up with their recommendations. So it's now up to the board to accept the recommendation and then go forward with that recommendation for public input before blessing that as the codified master plan document.
Okay, so.
Or we can put all 6 up and then couch that as 6 as the preferred alternative.
I'm a little reluctant to do that. I think it might be overwhelming.
Okay.
So let's. I would prefer to put 6 up there. So.
I just like to make a note for the record that Secretary Scheifel arrived for the meeting at approximately 6:25.
Absolutely.
Okay. So,
go ahead and put forward a motion to post the Master Planning Committee's option number 6 as the preferred option and post that to the airport website for public input.
Second.
Okay.
Discussion. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And opposed? Okay. So we'll get that up on the website. We'll invite folks to comment on that. Nick, I think you're up.
Moving on to project number 2, Nick Nicolito from Vail for the record. Again, project number two is the pavement maintenance project that was completed last summer. Again, still waiting on approval of change order number two from DOT. Carol Bean is overwhelmed with work that she is, having lost some of her staff. Things are just sort of taking a little bit longer. I did speak to her. She said she has received it. So the recommended actions are sort of moot at this point. But once that change order has been approved by DOT, the project can be closed out and final reimbursement to the contractor can be issued. A meeting still needs to be conducted with the contractor to discuss the pavement cracks that have come about this winter. I'm thinking, since we have a meeting on Friday with Seal Coating Inc., maybe having Continental come in a little bit early
please
would be an ideal situation. That way, if they all want to talk about perhaps a solution that involves steel coating those cracks, we can come to a decision right then and there. So I'll reach out to Rick Chabneau and Bruce Fowler from Continental, see what their availability is, and hopefully we can make that work this week. So recommended actions of the authority at this time regarding project number two are none. Any questions regarding the pavement maintenance project?
So, Chris, didn't we find a crack between, like, what is it, 15 and 7, or no, 13 and 15?
Yeah, we found some more cracks.
13.
A significant crack between 13 and 15, I think you're right. And that wasn't just an overlay, as you know, in there. That was a reclaim, the pavement on it. There's a substantial crack there.
Okay. You can kind of see the crack looks like it starts almost at the slab, you know, for that building, proceeds to where the porous pavement starts, and then kind of stops there. But then it picks up right on the other side of the porous pavement and scoots toward 15.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to take a look at that, mm-hmm, and see what the underlying cause may be. Let me just make a note of that.
So 13
and 15.
Okay. I can't offer any input on it right now, but let me do some digging. And
we'll take a look at it Friday, Nick, when you come by.
Okay, that sounds good. Anything else regarding the big business project?
Yes. The hangar door repair, that Continental damaged the hangar. They've yet to come and repair that. So
okay,
we need to talk to Bruce Power about getting that taken care of on Jim Tamposi's hangar.
Yes.
Well,
that has been,
they hired a sheet metal contractor, and he said when the weather got warmer in the spring that he would do the job.
Yeah. The issue is those sheet metal panels, they change the tongue and groove pattern every so often, so that way people can't get replacement parts. They just have to buy an entire new hangar. So I think what Bruce is going to do is have a sheet metal worker custom fabricate a replacement panel. And I'll make sure that I address that with Bruce when I speak to him.
Thank you.
I'll get back to the authority with an estimated schedule for the repair. If there's nothing else, I'll move on to the groove and seal project. Phase one is complete. Grooving work on the runway was completed in 5 calendar days of the 10 they were allowed. Phase two work is scheduled to begin, or was scheduled to begin, this past Monday. However, due to the inclement weather midweek, the call was made by the contractor to not initiate the phase and then run into a situation where they can't finish in the 5 calendar days they have allotted to. So notifications were sent to the FAA, working with the airport, and as of right now, the schedule is to commence work this coming Monday, the 21st. Now, on Friday, another call will have to be made by the contractor as to whether or not the weather will permit them to complete the work. They will be at the airport to discuss a schedule moving forward if the weather doesn't look good. They'll also be on site on Friday to do their preliminary surface friction testing. after you apply the sealant, you have to ensure that the surface friction returns to the level it was prior to applying it, so they need to do some tests. It'll probably be about 15 minutes total. They'll have to have a vehicle on the runway. I'll be on site, so will the resident engineer. We'll coordinate with the tower in real time and work under PPR conditions to get those friction tests done. The way it's done is basically they have a vehicle with either a sled, or some contractors actually have a vehicle that has a tire underneath it that basically locks up at about 40 miles an hour, and they measure the frictional resistance on the tire. So they'll do that in three separate areas on the runway, and they'll get their baseline friction levels so that way they can make sure it comes back up after the sealant's applied. Other information, at the request of the authority, Gale has submitted a draft change order number 1 to NHDOT for labor and materials necessary to install an ILS hold position marking and to relocate one lighted hold position sign. I think everyone's aware of the request to move the hold line up, coming from Alpha Ramp on the 3-2 end. I have a draft memorandum of agreement that I got from Brian Bean at the tower. I took that memorandum, used the same language that's in it, and added in the additional information that they would need in order to operate within the regulations during IFR conditions versus VFR. That draft change order, as well as the draft MOA, was sent to DOT on Friday, two Fridays ago now, I believe, and again, have acknowledgement that they've received it, but have not had the chance to review it or provide comment on those. So at this point, it looks like it'll have to be done. Well, I don't want to say that just yet, but if the draft change order is not approved and processed prior to the work being completed, the contract may have to stay open for an additional period in order to bring on an electrical sub who can do the sign relocation and wiring, and then the markings as well. So actions requested of the authority, none at this time. If anyone is interested in attending the meeting on Friday, you're more than welcome. But hopefully on Friday we'll have a better picture of next week's weather, and ideally we'll get the project done at that point. I think the reason for the meeting would be to discuss, in the event that there is rain in the forecast, how to get 5 consecutive days. So per the specifications, the contractor is allowed 5 calendar days to complete the work during the closure. And, you know, that would prohibit them from splitting it up on a Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They need to have them consecutively. So they may request weekend work if a weekend looks like it might provide 5 days of nice weather. Yes, Chris?
Nick and I briefly discussed this. My opinion, my take on it is we can't shut down on a weekend, not during the summer. There's too much business conducted on weekends. We have to find a Monday through Friday period to do this. We're going to lose business as it is, but on a weekend it could be a substantial hit to fuel sales, tie downs, the restaurant, etc. So my decision is to not allow it to happen on the weekend.
And especially holiday weekends. Is there, since this is kind of on hold with the DOT, you know, this part hasn't been approved, right?
Pardon.
Would it be
correct.
Better to just, I mean, the grooving I know has, but yes. this end part, the changes. Would it be better to just say, all right, come in the middle of June and get it all done? That would give Carol enough time to work on it?
We had discussed that earlier, too, and we chose the month of May because of the number of operations in May versus June, July, August. We were trying to have the least amount of impact on the traffic at the airport. Pushing into June, there's a lot more impact on the business at the airport.
Right. So
Roger?
Unfortunately, you can only do it nice weather.
What is your forecast percentage before they say, is there a percentage?
I think anything 50%
of the. Okay, because I just looked the whole week. the highest is 20%, and it's during the night.
Yeah.
It's 10% or nothing.
Yeah, next week's looking good.
Excellent. That's great.
So you get to the day before, then it's 90%.
Roger?
Roger Madison, sir. Is there any chance that they can go through a longer day out of the 8 hours, go from 8 in the morning to 8 at night for 12 hours, and you could get it done in maybe 4 days?
That's something that we could explore with the contractor as well. The airport being closed 24 hours a day would enable them to work 24 hours a day. So, yeah, I would assume that...
The striping contractor said that he can't work at night because he can't see. But in terms of 8 to 8, there's daylight. 7 to 8, there's daylight. 6 to 8, there's daylight.
5 to 8.
Right. So it's a good point.
And the ceiling is really the longest.
Yeah,
the time. The pavement markings can dry pretty quick. Those can be done during the day.
What is that?
They recommend 24 hours minimum before allowing any vehicles or other equipment on. Being that there's the 24-hour gap, the thought process in allowing a five-day schedule was day one, the contractor anticipates that they can coat about a third of the runway per day, so 2,000 feet. They would do the first 2,000 feet on day one. The second day, they would be on the middle 2,000 feet while the markings contractor was coming in and laying out. By day three, they'd be on the last 2,000 feet, and the markings contractor would apply markings for the next 2 days to get the job done.
Yeah, this 5 day thought in New England weather is a fantasy because it rains so often here, 45 minutes of change. So, a longer day and a shorter time span to get the job would be a very good option.
Certainly, and we can request that of the contractor, but it's ultimately the contractor's decision what they're allowing.
And we already have a signed contract with the contractor.
We have a signed contract, and they're allowed X number of days to complete the work. The minute we try to dictate their means and methods or work hours, then if something goes wrong, they blame the airport or the engineer.
And they're going to probably want a change order anyways to go out and sign that contract, I would imagine, at a minimum, right? You're going to say, oh, you're going to make us do 12-hour days? Well,
yeah, that might be grounds for a change order request, but that's not something that has to be approved.
We can make a motion to pull our plane next week.
But, I got really lucky with the runway process.
Hopefully it gets done next week.
In my discussion with Seal Coating Inc., we started to think about other alternatives. Perhaps on some of the nice weather days, we do the taxiways. We are sealing from the hold lines back towards the runway. So it's a little, it's a little smaller area, but at least they can do that in advance without actually having to close the runway. Permanently for the 5 days. So if you're going to apply that sealant, you can't reopen the runway until it's marked as a runway. We talked about the potential for visual only, where they would have the designator, the threshold on the displaced end, and then the centerline markings. That is one option, although your jet traffic wouldn't be they'd have to use VFR basically. You couldn't shoot a straight in approach unless it's marked as a precision one. So there are other options to keep the airport open and seal portions of the runway. As long as those markings remain, you can reopen. But that, I think, would compromise the finished product where you sort of piecemeal it like that. So my recommendation would be to cross your fingers and pray for next week.
Anything else? Okay.
And then project number four, producer number five. Thank you, Steve. Again, the SRE project has been bid. We are currently awaiting the grant to be issued by NHDOT. Upon receipt of funding, Gail will issue the recommendation to award the contract to Milton Cat. We'll issue the purchase order and get the equipment manufactured for you. So no recommendations at this time regarding the SRE project. Are there any questions regarding any of the projects?
Okay, we'll move on then. So committees, master plan committee. So we're going to have at least one more meeting. We have a couple more chapters to go, correct?
So we'll probably have, yeah, we're going to wrap up the rest of those chapters and probably meet and then discuss the remaining chapters and move forward.
Okay.
Yeah. Unless for some reason we get wild comments on chapter 6 and need to reconvene before that.
Sure.
Or if Chris comes up with another alternative that he wants to
throw
it there.
The crosswind runs.
With underground tunnels.
Yeah. There we go.
Maybe in the non-aeronautical view set.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And strategic plan. This strategic planning keeps showing up in, under committees, but that's been kind of rolled into.
It's been rolled into master plan, so we're through all the master plan stuff.
From now on, we'll roll it in together.
Yeah, we'll roll that in together. Okay, thank you. Old business, House Bill 124. So there has been some activity there. I took a peek last weekend. The state senate has their own version of the bill. I think it's 565, SB 565, and the activity, the long and the short of it is, the Senate bill is going to be the legislation moving forward. It looks like it's going to be pretty soon on its way to the governor's desk, for his signature. The Senate bill gets rid of the millage. It introduces a weight-based fee structure. It's a whole lot less onerous than what the millage was. The key difference between the Senate bill and the House bill is the House bill, the House bill called for increasing the fuel flowage fees at the state level to make up the so-called nut or the difference between what would get lost because of the millage, and that money would go to help fund Bureau of Aeronautics. The Senate bill does no such thing. And in fact, our senators noted that DOT, Bureau of Aeronautics, can come, justify their budget like the other various departments in the state currently do. So they won't have a guaranteed income source via aircraft registration fees when this bill moves forward. Does that sound about correct? Is that your recollection? Yep. So again, it looks like this one's going to be headed to the governor's desk. Since it doesn't call for an increase in the fuel flowage fees, that's going to, help move that bill through. And the current status of the bill, I think, is in some term of art for it. But right now, the theory is everybody's agreed that the bill ought to pass. So, and they've even earmarked some implementation dates for portions of the bill. So this is looking pretty good. We hope this is going to increase business, in New Hampshire over the course of time, and we'll get some more base jets at Nashua, as a result. So, that's it for that item. New business. Mr. Russ Moore from the Civil Air Patrol, I believe, is here.
Yes, thank you. My name is Russ Moore. I'm the commander of the Nashua Squadron for the Civil Air Patrol. I just wanted to stop by and introduce myself. We're going to be having increased presence at the airport. We're moving into the aviation center as a guest of SNHU into one of the office space areas there in the building. So that's going to be our primary meeting location for my squadron and my cadets, meeting on a weekly basis. So you'll see more of us around the airport, more cadets running around perhaps. Chris likes to go through later on perhaps and learn the do's and don'ts of where we can operate and not operate around the space around that. We do have a requirement for the cadets to run a mile, for example, so we're looking for a space that makes that convenient for them to do that. We already have a hangar being used. We have our aircraft in the hangar there behind the Air Direct already, so we're already operating out there, obviously. We have 29 cadets, say about 50 team members in my squadron. So I just wanted to welcome, say introduce myself to you guys and answer any questions you might have about Civil Air Patrol going forward.
Where were you holding the meetings?
We are currently at the First Church of Nashville as a temporary location. We were at the Academy of Science and Design for several years, but we had a conflict going on there, so we asked us to find a new location. So working with the SNHU, CAP at the wing level is coordinating with SNHU as far as their new aviation program goes, and there's a good relationship there because they have students that need hours, and we have aircraft that need pilots, so we're looking to optimize that relationship. And
are all of your students pilots, student pilots?
Our cadets are not, our cadets don't primarily train to be pilots as a cadet.
Okay.
Our senior members, many of them are current qualified pilots. Some of them are regaining currencies, for example.
But the cadets is mostly community service.
Right.
Leadership training, aerospace education.
Right, exactly. We do orientation flights for the cadets. I will be at the airport, so we'll be more centrally located. We usually support the Young Eagles events. We'll be supporting the movie night, hopefully, again this year, and the fly-in as well, so we're looking to get more involved in those things. We have requirements for a aerospace outreach program, so that'll help us fill that requirement as well to participate in those events at the airport. And the Wings and Wheels as well, we participate in that also.
Are you folks still 28016?
Yes.
You are. I was the cadet commander many, many, many years ago when we were.
Really?
Yeah, we were the Colonel Andrew H. Armatronic Composite Squadron.
Okay,
we were in the Quonset Hut. And then we were downtown on Quincy Street.
Okay.
And then we were at the Aviation Center. Then I moved on.
Yeah, we've been around several times. You know, to college, hosted us for a while, and at the ASD most recently.
Is Kurt LaFon still in the Civil Air Patrol?
He is. He's the National Director of Cadet Program.
Is he really?
Yes, he is.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So I have a few things. Any, you absolutely should be at the airport. So if for any reason you can't have your meetings there anymore, make sure you talk to Chris or myself.
Okay.
You know, we don't want you downtown Nashville having your meetings. You should.
Yeah, I'm very excited to get on the airfield again. It's gonna
be you definitely should be there. It's a lot of fun to see all the kids moving around. Definitely leave some information up in the restaurant.
Okay.
So that I have a lot of kids coming and going, so that might spark some interest.
Sure.
Do you ever have gatherings with other Civil Air Patrols, like from Rutland, Vermont, or from, you know, from different places, like a fly-in, you know, get together and have like a little...
Not really a fly-in type of event. No, the cadets get together for summer encampments usually. But the squadrons, and sometimes squadrons will share resources on different events, but no big gatherings type of thing.
Drill camp? Can I still do drill camp up at Colebrook? We used to go to Colebrook every year.
We do. There's a tech competition still going on. It's been a challenge to get participation, quite
really?
Honestly. So we're trying to improve that.
Really? We used to have, it was a huge deal every year.
We had the state competition last month, and the Laconia squadron went out to the regional competition.
We were the 1990 wing champ team. We went to regionals, and it was impressive. Northeast regionals was. I was on the CAC. I have a whole history of Civil Air Patrol. You can tell, so I'll just be quiet. But
thank you, Joe.
Yeah,
I'll
no problem.
No, if you do want to coordinate something, you know, we'd be happy to host a breakfast or something. You know, get everyone together and have a fun day. Don't do it in the ceiling and roof, but
right.
Get it done. Yeah, that's really good. I'm glad you'll be there.
Great. Thank you. Looking forward to it.
Nick, is there still room for public input? I actually have one other thing. You guys may or may not be aware, GASAMU's quarterly meeting is going to be up at the Mount Washington Regional Airport this year. The weekend following that, there is going to be a fly-in at the airport with a lobster bake, or you can request steak if you favor the land fare.
Steak bake.
The airport has given me flyers and posters and asked that I spread the word. Would it be all right to maybe put a poster at your office, Chris, and maybe outside of the...
They sent me some as well, and I'm going to put some up in my office, Air Direct, and up in the restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay. Yeah. Great. And if anyone is interested in attending that, I do have tickets that I can get to whoever needs them for that lobster boat. I believe it's $35 a piece.
What is the date of this?
I believe it's Saturday the 9th of June. But put a pin in that until I can confirm that. Sorry. All of the information is in the car.
You guys need to be on my
That is at Whitefield, yeah.
Yeah, definitely get us some stuff done.
Okay.
So I just wanted to say to the Civil Air Patrol, welcome back to Nashua. It will be great to have you folks back again. If you have any questions or issues, you can certainly approach Chris, any one of us directors. So let us know how we can help. So let's see. Chris has already gone over upcoming events, so I think we're good there. That brings us back to public input. Roger.
Just out of curiosity, is the Civil Air Patrol going to retire at Quonset?
I didn't see on the plan.
It's not fine.
That's right. It's not on the ALP. So.
It has to have the kerosene heater to bring it back.
But wait for us to put an alternative 6 up on the website, and you're welcome to comment on that. If you want the Quonset hut back, that would be the time to ask for it.
I'd like a nicer air conditioning space. Thank you.
Okay. Any other public input? Okay, so that brings us to director's comments. I'll start out to my right. Bob?
Sweet.
Sandy?
All right, a couple things. First, I want to thank Susan for putting in the extra effort and covering when Mike left. Appreciate that. You did a great job. Very sad to see Mike go. We were all taken by surprise. He states some health and family issues, so I'm hoping it's minor and he just wants to enjoy life. Chris is doing a great job handling what needs to be handled. So I do appreciate that. I met with the mayor this week to talk about my replacement. I gave him a few ideas. We don't get to decide who he chooses and who he doesn't choose, but I gave him a few suggestions of airport people that I know that would like to do it, would do a great job. He has met with them, taken their resumes, still moving forward. If anyone else is interested, they should probably contact him. When we met, he was concerned because Maria, she also interviewed for the manager's position. She lives in Amherst, which is not Nashua. And he preferred that, people be residents of Nashua. However, we are all business people at the Nashua Airport. Maria has a business there. Farrell is not, he doesn't live in Nashua, but he also, you own your hangar.
Yes,
he
I own a hangar.
In Nashua. And when I told him I moved, he was surprised, but I live in Walton now. Joe, I didn't know where you lived.
I'm in Nashua.
Oh, okay. So he does prefer Nashua residents. However, he was understanding that that we as business people in Nashua are good choices too. So and he was pretty humorous about how easy it is to get on the board. Cracked himself up at that one. just as Sandy does. So that should be happening soon. I think August you'll have some new board members. So that'll be good.
Okay, so first thing, I want to say, again, we're going to miss Michael. He did a great job for us and obviously served the board for a very long time. So we hope he'll still stop by the odd board meeting and say hi to us. And next, I would like to go on the record and say thank you to our airport community. for showing an awful lot of cooperation with the land use inspection that occurred, you know, at the end of last week and the beginning of this week. So, you know, again, as Chris mentioned, you know, it's like there were some hangars that they didn't have access to last week that they would like to access, and Chris is arranging that, you know, in chunks. And you know, we hope our community will continue, you know, cooperating, you know, in the same way that they have. It's been good. And you know, I think some of that goes to Carol and George, who have, you know, again, treated our customers and our tenants very well, very politely during this process. So again, thank you for that. And go over to Joe.
Okay, I won't belabor the point of all the best to Michael. I probably knew him the least of everybody here, but I got to know him over the last couple of years, and I hope everything works out well for him. Congrats to Chairman Woods here. He's stepped right up, and in Michael's absence, mere minutes after becoming vice chair. So congrats on that, and that's a great natural fit for that, so I'm sure he'll do great. To Chris and the airport team as well for, again, great reactivity to our inquisition that's taken place over the last couple of weeks, days, whatever. Again, it just kind of shows the great team that's in place here. Just some kudos for everybody there. That's all I have.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
We don't have anything for non-public, correct?
Okay. I'll second.
Okay. And discussion done. Okay. All those in favor to adjourn?
Aye.
Okay. And you're adjourned.